Happy Friday, Nashville. Welcome back into Chase and Michelle. Michelle Knezovic, Junie Riddle in for Chase McCabe. He's on vacation this week. We've also got Nick Keiser. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. Right now, we go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And we welcome in Sean Henry. Sean, President and CEO of the Nashville Predators, my favorite New Yorker. Listen, before we get to any of this stuff, I need to ask you, what are your thoughts on the Empire State Building being green after the Eagles win?
Well, if you go back and look at my Twitter for what I was wearing on Sunday, I think the operator of the lights lost the same bet I did. I had to wear a vet t-shirt and a Philadelphia Eagle helmet. It was made of rash and head lice. Yeah. So I assume he got fired. I assume his neighbors, you know, beat him. And he's shamed and probably moved out of state.
Oh, my goodness. I'm seeing the photo right now. Listen, if it makes you feel better, whenever the Vols beat Kentucky, Robbie Stanley and I have a bet, and I always have to wear Vols orange because I always seem to lose that bet. But, Sean, we got a lot of exciting things happening in Bridgestone. Nash Vegas is coming up soon, and it's going to be back here. Since COVID, you guys are finally going to be able to be back in Bridgestone. It's my first time attending the event. What can people look forward to at this event if they've never been before?
Well, for those that used to go, it's going to be good to have it back for the first time in 3 years. And if you've never been before, you've been missing out. It's just one of those really fun nights. You know, all of our players are there. We've got some alumni there. A lot of our staff is there as well. And it's a good way to just casually mingle with everyone. You know, there's, I don't even know, 300 auction items, casual casino games, learn how to play, show your expertise. Obviously, it's all, you know, not for real money. But then you can take the chips you win and then use them to buy different things. But it's fun to be able to, you know, throw dice or sit at a craps table or Texas Hold'em with some of the guys that, you know, we all admire so much and are so passionate about. And it's fun to see them in a different environment and really let their personalities flow. So it's just one of those really, really fun, easy nights.
So what is your go-to table you're at? I'm personally a blackjack person.
You know, I like blackjack because it's such a social game. You know, the people you're with. But, you know, craps is always a fun game, too. But really any game. Anytime you get a chance to sit down and laugh a little bit and toast each other, high five, and really talk a little trash, it's a good time.
Of course. We got Sean Henry on with us, President and CEO of the Nashville Predators. It's All-Star Weekend down in Tampa in your old stomping grounds. And, of course, UC Saro is representing the Nashville Predators. What is it like to have a player of his caliber, you know, represent your franchise for the second consecutive year in Tampa?
Well, I don't like correcting a fellow New Yorker, but it's actually in Sunrise. It was in Tampa a few years ago.
Oh.
And we don't call him Saros anymore. He is now Staros because he is.
Oh, there you go.
You know, yeah, I mean, you nailed it. You know, having a guy like that get recognized across the league is really nice because he's earned it and he deserves it. If he's not the best goaltender in the league, he's easily one of the top two or three. And, you know, with him in net, you have a chance to win every single night. You know, it's like having a Cy Young winner, you know, pitching every single game. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the guys have a different level of confidence in front of them. They can do different things. But he's the eraser for any mistakes anyone makes. And he's such a wonderful guy, too. I mean, he's always even-keeled. He's always upbeat. And he's humble to a fault. I mean, he gives all the credit to his teammates and his coaches. And it's just tremendous to have him around. And, you know, the way he embraces, you know, the goalie tandem, the way he, you know, learned under Pekka and then started in front of Pekka. And the guy loves our game. He loves the team. But he also likes, you know, bringing other people along.
We're talking to Predators President Sean Henry. Sean, in a month's time, y'all are going to have the SEC tournament coming out to Bridgestone Arena. You know, the SEC has some of the best college basketball programs. We're talking Kentucky, Tennessee, Alabama, Auburn. A lot of great teams that are going to be competing in the big tournament in March. What does that mean for Bridgestone Arena and the city of Nashville to host such a big event with college basketball starting to reach its height now that football is starting to wrap up?
I'll tell you what, I'll always be grateful to Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner, for having the faith in us, you know, probably 10, 12, 13 years ago, I forget what it was, to lock in that first multi-year deal that we did. And it was basically 12 straight SEC tournaments. It was three men, one women, three men, one women, you know, that pattern. And then a few years ago, we reworked it And now we're locked in for the men's tournament right through 2035. And if I was a betting man, I'd assume we'll end up doing that through 2099. There's nothing better than that tournament. And, you know, some will say this conference or that conference. There is nothing better than the SEC tournament in Nashville, Tennessee. Because if some team gets a surprise and gets really hot, and it happened a few years ago with Ole Miss, their fan base can be here in a few hours and shows up and you see what it is. I like all the SEC teams equally. I won't lie.
Kentucky.
I wouldn't mind if Michelle's team – I wouldn't mind if you guys play every Sunday. Who wins is secondary to me, but it's fun when they're playing on Sunday because you have that blue mist. But, you know, the Arkansas Army is back. You know, UT is on top of their game. Vandy's strong. Alabama's, you know, playing really, really well. So for the first time in a long time, you have four or five teams, you know, that are really, really good again, and their fans follow. So it's great to have it. It's better than doing the NCAA tournament because, you know, you have seven sessions. You go from Wednesday through Sunday, where with the tournament, you only have 2 days of basketball. So we got critiqued like 10 years ago for choosing the SEC tournament over maybe getting the first and second round every two or three or 4 years. And we laughed. I said, we have something every single year. It's not even a bird in the hand. It's a better bird in the hand than the other. And, you know, we love the NCAA tournament. But, again, wouldn't you rather have, you know, five straight days of basketball than, you know, two spread out with a day off? So, for us, it's great. If you haven't been yet, come on out. The last time we did this, unfortunately, we played on Wednesday and then shut everything down for COVID the very next day. So, I'm really excited to have this back. And I look forward to the next 12, 13 years of this tournament being right here in Smashville.
So, also, Sean, going back a few weeks ago, y'all played a big game in Montreal on the road where they honored former Canadian and Nashville Predator defenseman P.K. Subban. You all have decided to do a P.K. Subban night as well, Monday, February 13th, as you all host the Arizona Coyotes at Bridgestone Arena. Talk about the importance of the P.K. Subban addition to that team and the Stanley Cup run that he was a part of. And, I mean, that was probably one of the biggest trades in Nashville Predators history when you all traded Shea Weber to go out and get P.K. Subban. So could you kind of touch on his importance to the franchise and how that really impacted when that trade went down?
Yeah, that trade, I've talked about it quite a bit, and I think you're a little underestimating what that trade was. That's probably the biggest one-for-one trade, talent-for-talent trade in the history of sports. I mean, I kind of defy anyone to come up with a bigger one. I always say the only one that would have been bigger it was Ted Williams for Joe DiMaggio, but their GMs and owners didn't have the backbone to pull it off. Making that trade was hard for us. You know, we traded arguably the best player in our franchise history at the time, the face of the franchise, our captain, just a tremendous player, you know, for PK. And what that trade produced is it put both of our teams in the Stanley Cup. You know, Montreal a few years ago and then us in 2017. That 4 or 5 years of PK, though, were our 4 or 5 best years as a franchise. You know, obviously, you go to the Cup. Unfortunately, we came up 2 wins shy of the ultimate prize. The next year, we're in the President's Trophy. You know, we're in it year in and year out. I think the year we went to the Cup, he finished second, maybe third, in the Norris Trophy voting. And you could argue he was probably our best player through the playoffs. In that first round, I mean, he just absolutely shut down Chicago's offense. And they did so again in the Stanley Cup Finals. I mean, he was so good, and I really thought he had an opportunity to win the MVP for a losing team, which is pretty rare. But above and beyond what he did on the ice, which was tremendous for us, he, much like Shea, made such an impact in the community. And I mean, he was at the hospital all the time. He made kids, you know, dreams come alive. He touched every single person, made them feel special. But I think his lasting legacy for our city, just like in Montreal's, you know, Children's Hospital here, it'll be Blue Line Buddies. You know, when it was pretty obvious to everyone, not just in sports, but around our country, saw that, you know, certain neighborhoods just didn't have a great relationship with the police department and police officers. He looked at it and said, well, instead of talking about it, what do I do to help mend that? And he created Blue Line Buddies. And basically, you take two officers and two kids that maybe never been to a hockey game before, and we bring them out to a game. They have dinner before the game. They meet with, at the time, PK. Now they meet with our defensive core. And then after the game, win or lose, they get downstairs and they get a chance to high-five the guys and meet in the locker room. And then what it forms is this bond between these police officers and, you know, kids that ideally, you know, they all remember for years and years and years. So the program has been around 5 or 6 years now. And we're going to have a reunion of all the kids and the officers that have gone through that.
Oh, that's awesome.
I think it's going to be roughly 200 officers, 200 kids that will be coming back out together for a game today, together to celebrate what PK put together. And again, those bonds are healing. You know, it's you touch a person at a time, you bring them together, start having different conversations, you know, in front of sports. Sports can bring people together, and it can heal a community. And that's what he did. And I remember when he came up with the idea and kind of pitched it to us. And I'm not speechless often, but I really just stared at him. And I could not believe what I just heard, because it was so simple, yet so elegant. And it's been paying dividends, you know, for the past 4 or 5 years. And I think it will for generations to come. He's a truly special man. We're honored to have him play for us. I'm so thankful that he wanted to come on back and let us say thank you to him as one of our anchor alumni.
And, Sean, if anybody's listening right now about this Blue Line program, is there anywhere they could go if they're interested in maybe, you know, trying to get involved in it?
Well, I hope people are listening. If they're not, we're not doing our job, right?
Well, I guess I'm not doing my job. You're doing yours.
No, you know, it's really a one-to-one. At the same time, there's a way to donate through the foundation.
Okay.
Where we want to even bring a few more kids on out. So you can just go right to our website, you know, NashvillePredators.com under the ticketing package. And if you donate $76, obviously the number, it'll buy two tickets for kids to come on out. So we're bringing out 200 kids on our own, 200 police officers, but it'll be really nice to have that legacy pay forward and bring out even a few more kids every single game. But it's going to be really nice when he steps out and everyone gets a chance to applaud around him and cheer him on, thank him for what he did on the ice, but also what he's done off the ice. Both are so, so impressive. Both will give us, you know, a lifetime of memories. One will change this community for generations.
And that PK Subban night will be Valentine's Day, actually. So February 13th, you'll be honoring him. Sean Henry, thank you so much for joining us on this Friday. And then next week, we'll get to that top 10's QB list that you have. We'll carve out a segment for that. Sound good?
Yeah, I'm a little disappointed. I thought that's all we're going to talk about today. But I don't know why people aren't chattering that more and more. And people keep putting that Brady guy as number one. And we all know it's Bill Sims. So
we all know it's him, followed by Eli. You got Dilfer in there, and then also Steve McNair, of course, right?
We got to have Dilfer in there because somehow we beat our Giants in the Super Bowl. And everyone loves Steve McNair. So, yeah, the only three non-Giants are Brady, McNair, and Dilfer. Other than that, it's all the boys in blue.
Of course, and Tom Brady's far down there. Sean Henry, thanks so much for joining us today. We'll talk soon.
All right, guys. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
You too. That was Sean Henry,
thanks, Sean.
President and CEO of the Nashville Predators. Nashville Predators also have their second annual Preds Girl Classic Hockey Tournament this weekend. Both Ford Ice Centers, 32 all-girl teams from the 12-under and 19-under. And the weekend will also include a skills competition on Saturday. Coming up next, Junie and I are going to dive into the NFL, what is happening around the league, offseason potential moves, and what does this quarterback carousel look like? You're listening to Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.